Have you listened to the Drew Marshall Show before? He never offends or upsets anyone.
If you're wired in a happy, clappy way and you want to go to a happy, clappy church, then go there. If you're wired in a deadbeat way and you want to sit there and get bum sores on the pew, then go there. You know, those are minor points. It doesn't really matter to me.
Drew Marshall always sees eye to eye with everyone.
If you want to read your prayers as opposed to creatively imagining them, or you don't want to wave flags and do creative dances and stuff, I don't really give a rip. Those are minors. People then turn them into majors, and then they become dumb church rules.
Listen every Saturday between 1 and 5 for Canada's only Christian radio talkback program, The Drew Marshall Show, right here on Joy 1250.
You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. Glad to have you with us, folks. You recognize that tune in the background? Man, it's been a long time for me. Looking quite forward to chatting with this special guest we've got on the show today, Mr. Bob Hartman from the band Petra. Bob, how are you, mate? Everything going well down in Florida? Is that where you guys are at?
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Beautiful. And big gig tonight, is it?
Yeah.
Where are you playing down there?
We're in the Tampa area tonight.
Tampa, Florida. No football in the area? Because you used to play football growing up, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. How'd you know that?
Hey, I did a little snooping around, man.
Oh, yeah.
What position did you play?
I played left offensive tackle.
Man, you had some size back then, did you?
Well, I came from a small town, so I was at the time I was a 180-pound tackle. So I was small for a tackle.
Yeah, that'll work, though. That'll work.
Yeah.
Well, the band has been going strong for years and years and years. I don't want to make you sound like a grandpa here or anything like that, but more than 7 million records sold, 4 Grammy Awards, 10 Dove Awards, and an induction into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. You guys have indeed become one of the most famous Christian bands ever. You are the lead guitarist, principal songwriter, and basically you're the founder of Petra. Did I get all that right?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Do you feel old? I mean, let's be serious here, because I mean, when I was a kid, you know, you guys were everything, man. I mean, when I first found out that guys played raunchy guitar and sang about Jesus, I was like, oh, okay, this is good. But that was forever ago.
Yeah, it was. You know, but sometimes I get surprised, like when a person comes up to us and they look old to me, and they say, I've been listening to you guys since high school. You know,
yeah.
Then I start to feel old.
How many years have you been married to Kim for now, Bob?
It will be 25 in March.
Wow.
25 years.
And even in the Christian music industry, sad to say, but that is still a record.
Well, I don't know about that, but we sure feel very much in love, and some people don't know it, but my wife has really worked and labored for years and years behind the scenes for Petra's ministry. She's been a very integral part of what we have done for years. And I know personally, I can say there's no way I could have done what I did with Petra had she not been there at my side.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like every guy I've spoken to who's sort of survived the industry has survived almost single-handedly because of a supportive wife. I mean, obviously, there's the huge God factor there as well, but the supportive wife scenario seems to be the mainstay.
Well, it certainly has been that way for me. You know, as I say, you know, when we first got married, actually, our honeymoon was in the studio recording Never Say Die.
Hmm.
And from then, we took off on the road, and my wife ran the sound, ran the lights, did the merchandise, and did the bookkeeping.
Well.
And she did that for several years, so she's well acquainted with all the inner workings of Petra's ministry from the ground up.
Folks, we're on the phone with Bob Hartman, who is the founding member of Petra and has been so. How many years now has it been?
33.
Man.
Yeah.
And you have a son who's 16 or 17 now?
He's 17.
Finally driving. Do you feel good about him driving around in a car? I'm not real happy about my son driving.
You know what? He's pretty careful.
Is he?
He's not overconfident. I think that's a good thing.
You know who you sound like? There's a guy named Skip Prokop who was the founding member and drummer of a band called Lighthouse. one of Canada's most famous bands we've ever produced, and you sound just like him. You really do. I just thought I'd mention that. That came out of nowhere. But anyway.
Well, that's unusual because I've been told I don't sound like anyone else.
Skip's a cool guy. So you're now cool. It's official. You homeschooled your son Jeff, and then is he going to a Christian school now?
That's exactly right. We started when I left the road. I left the road for almost 8 years. And when I first left the road, we homeschooled him completely. And then we began to find out about some programs where there were classes given in certain subjects. And this particular school would allow students that were homeschooled to come in and take different courses. So he began to take more and more until finally that's all he was doing. So now he's full-time in a private Christian school. And that's one of the reasons I was free to come back on the road again. And he's real supportive, and I'm glad he got to see me play before I retired.
Well, and the retirement is coming up soon. This is the farewell tour. I want to talk about that in a little bit. But back to your son, Jeff. I mean, homeschooling and then Christian school, do people give you the gears about that? Do they say, what are you, afraid of the public school system? Or like, are you living in the Bronx, or what's the go?
You know, I really feel like that time that I spent with my son in homeschooling was the most valuable thing I'll ever do in my life because of the relationship that we built, because of the bond that we built between each other. My son knows me now. I never had that with my father, and it's a very important thing, I think, for especially a boy to grow up knowing his father and having a good relationship with him. We have a great relationship now, and I attribute it to that kind of time that we spent every single day because of my involvement with his education. And now, being in a Christian school, my son is developing a Christian worldview so that he views the world and all of the different things in this world from a Christian standpoint and understands it from that standpoint. That, to me, is the most valuable thing I can give to him before he steps out into the world, that it can be very, very confusing and disorienting to a lot of people. And I think he's really grasping how to discern this world and many of the things that that come his way.
Is Jeff a tennis player like you?
No. Boy, you sure know a lot about me. What, do you got a camera in my house or something?
It's my job to snoop, man.
I'm beginning to worry here. Jeff doesn't play tennis yet. I don't know if he'll get interested soon or not, but...
Is that something, you know, you dreamed about, a father-son dynamic duo out there in the doubles, Davis Cup? Because you're, if I understand things right, you are such a tennis freak that you actually have your own stringing machine.
Yes, I do. I string rackets for myself and for other people that, you know, friends and so forth.
When I first read that, it said stringing machine. I thought, wow, he's got a stringing machine for his guitars? I've never heard of that before. That's pretty cool. But it's any chance you get to watch the finals, the Davis Cup, the any of the cups that are out there, I mean, who's your favorite guy going on the men's circuit now?
Well, gosh, you know, Roger Federer is the number one player in the world.
Yeah, but is he your favorite, though?
Oh, gosh, the person I like to watch the most.
Come on, Agassi. Come on, it is, isn't it?
Oh, you know, it is. I think it is Agassi.
Yeah.
He's the one that I'm just always rooting for. You know, every time he steps on the court, I'm always rooting for him. He's one of those kind of guys you just love to see win.
Yeah. How did you go from being Mr. Tough football player in high school to you know, is it just a middle age thing? You recently got into tennis? You thought you'd settle down into something that, you know, wouldn't hurt you as much?
Well, actually, I played some when I was in my 20s, but I didn't know what I was doing, you know. And so when I got off the road, I thought, well, I got to, you know, get some exercise. And I always enjoyed playing tennis, sandlot kind of tennis. So I started taking lessons, and I learned a little more about the sport. And the more I learned about it, the more interested I got in it, playing and watching it. So, you know, I just love to go. I got, a few... guys in a club I belong to, and we play regularly, and right now I'm kind of in a tennis drought because I'm on this tour. So I heard there's somebody else that plays, so I gotta see if we can't get something going here.
Yeah, you're needing a fix. I can tell.
Yeah, I do.
Let's talk about the BA in psychology, and I'll just remind our listeners we're on the phone with Bob Hartman, and Bob is the main guy of Petra. He's the founder and the lead guitarist, principal songwriter. I've been going for 33 years. Bob Hartman on the phone with us. BA in psychology. I didn't know you were that deep, man.
I'm beginning to feel like that. This is your life here. I graduated with a degree in psychology, and I think, believe it or not, I've been able to use that in some ways. Some of the things that I learned, when you got a bunch of nutcases out here on the road you're traveling with, it helps.
Yeah. Well, I can only imagine 33 years of being with the band. Conflict. Let's talk about this. You've had guys go in and out of the band. I don't know any of the history, any of the gossip, and I don't want you to spill the guts of the band because I can imagine it's like family, and I wouldn't want my guts being spilled all over the radio about our family issues. So I'm not prying from that point of view, but I can only imagine that after so many years, guys coming in and guys leaving, that seriously, a BA in psychology would probably help along the way.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of being in the band is like a marriage. I mean, you're with each other all the time. You begin to know each other's quirks, and you adapt. And sometimes it's a lot harder to adapt than other times. And, the ideal situation, of course, is when everybody is growing in grace and everybody is, growing more godlike, more Christlike in their life. And when that's not happening, it really can throw a wrench in the whole thing. And you occasionally have to do something about that. But I think overall Petra has been very blessed to have had some really, really fine, talented people and really fine spiritual people. And I can't think of a time in Petra's history that I could say that more than right now.
Hmm. Well, if 33 years of tunes being cranked up by you guys, I'm going to ask you some cheesy Tiny Talent Time questions. The Tiny Talent, I don't think that was an American show, so you probably have no clue what I'm talking about. But you know what I mean, the cheesy interview questions you're going to get asked all the time. Are you ready for them?
Okay.
Okay.
Like
favorite songs that you guys have put out. What's give me two that have really stood out for you as wow, these songs, I actually love these songs. Just two.
No Doubt, Grave Robber.
Very concise. Thank you. Songs that drive you nuts that you wrote. Like I asked Randy Stonehill that, and he said, if it wasn't for the residual checks that I see every month or whatever it is, I would try to do everything I could to stomp out of the world Shut De Doe.
I remember that song, yeah. That was a big song. I can imagine you would grate on your nerves if you had to do it every night.
Yeah.
Let's see. The top of my head. It would probably be some obscure album cut that nobody caught on to. Hang on here. I'm thinking of one. Alter Ego.
Okay.
I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Influences. Let's talk about guitar influences. Would it be Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, Eric Johnson? Who are your guitar gurus that you look up to?
Eric Johnson's probably my favorite guitar player. Very, very close would be Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
I listen to Stevie Ray Vaughan a lot. I just love the tone and the feel of his playing. Early on, Phil Keaggy was an influence to me. I saw Phil play before he was a Christian, before I was a Christian. We got saved about the same time, but I had seen Phil play several times back then, and that was a great influence on me. That's pretty much it.
Those are some good guys. I remember seeing Eric Johnson when I was living in Australia. And I was, how people say you were blown away, or I went to this concert, man, and I was blown away. I actually was blown away. I came out of there with my mouth completely dry.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Steve Morse, who I also really enjoy, and he did a guitar clinic in Sydney, in Australia, that I went to. Do you know any Steve Morse stuff?
I knew about Dixie Dregs.
Dixie Dregs, yep.
All that, yeah, sure.
You know,
met Steve Morris, as a matter of fact.
Have you?
Yeah, he knew who Petra was and everything.
He's got some. He's got some big arms on him, man. Some big pipes. He's now he's now playing with Deep Purple.
Really?
Yeah. If you can believe
That's
it.
Crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. That doesn't add up to me.
No, I know. What about influences, spiritual influences, writers, authors, God guys?
A big influence on me was the late Dr. Walter Martin. Wrote Kingdom of the Cults. Are you familiar with that?
Only because I saw it online. I hadn't heard of this gentleman until I went to your website and saw that you paid a bit of tribute to him.
Oh, I did. Okay. Dr. Walter Martin was really... I got a chance to meet him.
You had dinner with him, didn't you?
I did have dinner with him, and it was a real experience that I'll never forget. He was one of the pioneers in looking into the cults and what they believe and exposing the beliefs in light of Scripture. And so he was a real hero of mine, and it was neat to meet him.
Hmm.
I think... as far as other authors, I like Chuck Colson a lot. I really enjoy one of my favorite books reading early in my Christian life was Tim LaHaye, Spirit Control Temperament.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good book.
Who are you reading these days? Sounds like such an elitist question, doesn't it? Who are you reading these days?
Yeah, I haven't really been reading all that much lately. I've been real busy trying to get this tour together, but I can't think of anything I've read recently, real recently.
Mad Magazine, The Wittenberg Door.
No, haven't read anything much.
Okay, just checking.
I've been mainly online.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And making guitars too.
Yeah, tell me about that. Tell me, I saw a brief little section about these guitars you make. What's so special about your guitars?
Well. This particular one that I've been making as fast as I can make them because of the demand has the called the Petra 33, and what it is, it has a pick guard that has all the album covers from Petra songs, from Petra years, all the album covers arranged in a collage that's sort of like a stained glass look, and or a puzzle look, kind of, you know, like a jigsaw puzzle type. And it's really striking, and lots of people are buying them. Sometimes people who don't even play want one to hang up in their den or something. And people are giving them away as gifts, and I'm making them just about as fast as I can. And it's been hard because I've been on the road, but that's been really fun.
Being on the road as much as you have been over the last 33 years, Bob. Drop some names. Who are some cool people that you've met that I would go, hey, that's kind of neat, you know?
Well, let's see. Dan Fogelberg.
Oh, sweet.
I did not meet him, but the drummer for U2, is it Larry Mullins? Is that his name?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, we were playing early on at a place, and U2, when they were just starting out, were playing at the same place the next night. And evidently they were already in town, and the drummer came and heard our concert. And right before I came out to the bus, he stepped on the bus in the morning and said hello to everybody and said he enjoyed the show. So I missed that. I'm, you know, kicking myself still for missing that.
What, did you sleep in that morning?
No, I just hadn't gotten out to the bus yet. He he just stepped on. There was a few of people still on there, but maybe I was late that morning. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But that'll teach you to be late.
Yeah, exactly. Good story to keep the rest of the guys on the schedule for sure.
Yeah.
Bob, and again, just reminding our listeners, on the phone with Bob Hartman, who is the founder of Petra, lead guitarist, principal songwriter of, to be quite honest, one of the most famous bands, Christian bands ever. I mean, that name just stands out there so much. I think it's a unique name. It's one of the reasons, but your sound has just been... You've had such an enduring quality in your tunes over so many years, which is such a rare, rare thing. But I want to talk to you, Bob, about your spiritual beginnings. Did you grow up in a God family or not?
I grew up in a family that went to church, but it was a church that was not an evangelical church. So although there were, you know, spiritual things said, there was no mention of a relationship with Christ. There was no mention of being born again, of knowing Christ, of knowing salvation. And so as a result, you know, when I got out of high school, I quit going to church and started to doubt if there really was a God.
What was the denominational baggage there again?
What denomination?
Yeah.
You want me to mention it?
Sure, why not? I mean, okay. We all know there's a lot of dry denominations out there that don't, you
right.
know, they do God, but there's no restorative qualities or relationship qualities about
right.
the Jesus they're selling.
Well, this was a Presbyterian church that I grew up in.
Right.
Now, I know there are lots of good ones, but the one that I particularly grew up in was not among the ones that I would consider now to be, you know, a very good church.
So when did it click for you?
Well, basically, when 1970, I was in college at Kent State, and four students got shot, and I started thinking about what this world was coming to.
This is four dead in Ohio?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just thinking of that CSN lyric, you know.
Yeah, not too many people remember this anymore. But that really jarred me, and then somebody who I'd grown up with, who'd moved away, came back that summer, and he had definitely changed. And I asked him what it was, and he told me he'd been born again. He'd been saved, and I'd never really heard of that. So he told me he planted a seed in me and hoped it would grow, and then he left. And I 2 weeks later, I accepted Christ, or I prayed to God to, you know, I said, I didn't know how to pray, but I just said, God, I want you in my life, and that's when my life changed.
Was it an instant change, or, you know, did you have the lightning bolt experience, or was it a...
No, I knew something had happened the moment I did that. I knew God had heard me, but I also knew that it was going to be time before I really saw and understood what all happened. And as a result, I went back to college and got into some situations that I really needed to pray about as far as where I was going to live and all these different things. And, you know, every time I would pray, God would answer my prayer. And pretty soon it got to where my faith had been built up because of trusting God and then watching God come through and answer prayer. And that was so amazing to me and so thrilling that God would care that much about me. And that built my faith to the point where I really understood that God had heard my prayer and he was in my life and working in my life.
Okay, so it's been a number of years now. How many years have you totaled this up? Do you know your birthday, all that kind of stuff?
35 years.
Yeah, 35 years.
Is that right? Wait.
Come on now.
70, yeah.
You can tell. Were you
35
on,
years.
Were you on the offensive line or defensive line?
Yeah. No, I didn't know there was going to be any math.
My apologies. In those 30-whatever years, those 30-something years, has your theology changed? You know, was there stuff you used to believe that you don't believe now? Did you ever go through a legalistic, you know?
I was so fortunate, and Petra was so fortunate, to come from a ministry that was such a great foundation. In fact, I attribute my success as a songwriter to my early foundation. It was a really, really great church that was progressive in its outlook on evangelism, and that's why Petra was allowed to come from that church to practice in the church basement. I mean, in those days, you know, rock was being preached against in most of the pulpits across the country in evangelical churches. And for this church to say, I know that these boys are, their hearts are right, and we may not like this music or understand it, but we know that they're trying to do something for God, and we're not going to stop that. We're not going to impede that. We're going to help that as much as we can. And that's what they did. And we would go out on the road, and we would get beat up sometimes. We'd go to places, find out some church was praying against us, and you know, we you know really struggled to prove ourselves that we were actually sincere Christians. But when we came home, we felt we had a base where people understood us, accepted us, prayed for us, and supported us, and that was really foundational for Petra's sticking to it in spite of so many obstacles in those early days.
Bob, you said you got beat up. I mean, you're not talking physically here, are we? You know?
No, I'm not talking physically, but I mean, just you know, when you go out and you feel like you're having to prove yourself every time you turn around. I don't know if you can relate to this, but you know, when you tell somebody you're a Christian, they don't question it. But when I told somebody I was a Christian, and they found out I played in a rock band in the early 70s, back then they would doubt if I really was a Christian, and they were, you know, skeptical and
yeah,
watching all the time. And you know, when you're under that kind of microscope, you do one little thing and they're pointing a finger.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really hard to maintain, you know, being perfect in people's eyes in those early days. And luckily, we found enough people who had been saved through the Jesus movement who really didn't have a hang up about rock music, and those were the people that sponsored a lot of our early concerts. They were evangelistic concerts. Sometimes we'd set up in a park and play music and draw a crowd and then witness our faith. And, you know, we saw the Lord working, and that's really what kept us going.
Did you have much to do with Larry Norman back in the early days?
Oh, we played with Larry a bunch of times. In fact, Larry, we used to do one of Larry's songs a long time ago, and Larry found out about it, and we were playing at the same thing, and he wanted to do it with us. So Larry got up and sang with Petra backing him at one of those early concerts. It was fun.
Do you remember the song?
Yeah. Why Don't You Look Into Jesus?
Got it. Sipping whiskey from a paper cup.
That's right.
Drown your sorrows till you can't get up. I'm there. I had the privilege of interviewing Larry for about an hour and 15 minutes we went on. And what a great conversation. It was neat to be able to chat with someone who was so foundational in my spiritual upbringing.
Yeah, he was in mine, too. He was a great influence on me.
Was he?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to let you go because you've got a life and you've got a concert to go to, and we've got to move on in the show here, but we want to tell everybody about this concert coming up. Canada Christian College next Friday, October the 14th. Is this really going to be a farewell tour? Like, is this it, or is this like what Kiss does, where they have the final farewell tour number 3, or the Eagles, you know, farewell number 2 and number 7?
No, this is it. We're calling it a day. And, you know, I mean, I cannot say never, 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 ever would we ever think of doing something again, because I don't know what will happen. But right now, we just are not thinking at all that we're going to come back and do something else.
Yeah. Well, if you do come back, please don't ever come back wearing the kind of outfits that Striper wore, okay?
Oh, I promise you, I wouldn't look good in tight.
No. I think they've got to be the most picked on band, Christian band ever. Do you not think?
Oh, probably.
I hope they're probably all great guys, but that whole spandex thing just kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Your concert coming up Friday, October 14th, Canada Christian College. And folks, if you want to go to that, you want to call 416-391-5000, 416-391-5000. Extension 341, or just go to christianconcerts.ca. That's pretty simple to remember, christianconcerts.ca. The Petra website is petraband.com. You want to stay in touch with these guys, find out what's going on in their lives, it's petraband.com. Anything else you want to say to our listeners before we let you go, Bob?
Well, I just want to say we're really excited to come to Toronto, and we're having a blast out here on this tour. We got some really good artists with us. Got Farewell June, Bread of Stone. They're a band from Iowa. We're on the bus with them. Just great people. You're just having a great time.
Having a good
time. It's going to be good.
Good. All right. Again, folks, that's Friday, October 14th. That's coming up real soon. Canada Christian College, 416-391-5000. Call them now and get a hold of your tickets, $20 in advance, $25 at the door. Hey, listen, Bob, thank you very, very much for making the time to come on the Drew Marshall Show. It's been good to kind of find out a little bit about you, aside from the music, you know, that whole tennis thing. I'd love to have a game of tennis with you one of these days.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man.
Bring my racket up there.
I'd actually prefer if you just brought the stringer. Would that be all right?
Yeah, what, you just want a restring, huh?
Yeah, that's all I want, man, just a restring. All right, Bob, take care, man.
Okay, you too.
Great to chat with you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bob Hartman from Petra. What a great time with him. Hey, we got lots more coming up in the Drew Marshall Show. We'll be right back. Stay with us.